Kathy.
The most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Hour number three of Sports Talk begins with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson, and we head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline because on Thursdays at 5 o'clock, almost every Thursday out of the calendar year, that's when we get to say hello to our good friend Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com as he joins us now. And, of course, Brent's appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. From design to installation, the team at Diversified has you covered. View their portfolio online at sunandscreen.com. Brent Hubbs, how are you?
I'm doing well. Hope you're doing good, John.
Yes, sir. Thumbs up. And it was something to see. Well, actually, it continues to be something to just watch the evolution of the sport and how it's moving towards what everyone hopes is the start of a season. But it really is something to watch not just players opt out, but perhaps schools and entire programs opt out in terms of the non-Power Five or Group of Five. And so what, from your vantage point, is it like as we see news that we probably never thought we'd ever see in regards to the approach of a college football season?
Well, I think there's a couple things. One, I mean, I think players, have their own individual decisions to make. I think it's an interesting precedent for moving forward if guys who sit out this year still go very highly in the NFL draft, and I'm not saying guys should not sit out this year. If you don't feel comfortable playing, you should not play. But you wonder what kind of precedent that sets moving forward for a sophomore who was going into his junior year, was a highly projected guy. Do they make those kind of decisions moving forward? You always think about that long term with the sport. But I understand guys making decisions that they feel that they need to make for their family, just like Juwan James did in the NFL, or whoever else is out there making those decisions. I mean, it's, you got to do what's best for you and your family. In terms of the program shutting down, I think with UConn, I don't want to say it's not about the virus, but I think they're in such financial disarray that a lot of this was just about finances. And I think at the end of the day, when you look at some smaller programs out there, I think some of the decisions that they're going to make will stem around the financial part of this. And, when you talk about the NCAA mandates, if you're talking about you got to test everybody in your program 72 hours before competition, well, if you're going to test 150 kids at a smaller school who's on a tighter budget, those tests are $100 a piece. That's $1,500 a week for 12 weeks. It's a pretty expensive cost when you're not making ticket revenue or limited ticket revenue. And I think from a financial standpoint, there's such a real burden there for some of the non-Power Five schools, and particularly Division II, Division III, even some smaller Division I schools. I think it's going to make it very difficult for them. And so I'm not sure we've seen the last of some programs deciding not to play. We'll see, but I think, with the NCAA putting that deadline out there for later this month, all eyes are going to be glued on who decides they want to give it a go and who says, it's probably not in our best interest to give it a go because financially we can't afford to make it happen.
If you have a question or a comment for Brent, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free. For AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers, the toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900.
Brent, tell us about the preferred walk-on kicker that Tennessee got from Martin, Tennessee.
Well, lots of people know who J.T. Carver is. They know his father, Keith Carver, and the Carver family was a mainstay in the Knoxville community for a long time when Keith was working on Tennessee's campus and was an assistant to the president before getting the chancellor's job at UT Martin. And JT's a young man whose leg has really gotten a lot stronger the last two or three years. James Wilhoit has worked with him, and he's a midterm enrollee, a terrific student who, when you look at Tennessee's depth chart, Jimmy, he's going to have a great opportunity coming in. Assuming we have normal spring practice next spring, is going to have an opportunity to come in and win a job. You know, Brett Smigley is a senior. There is no heir apparent in line. Now, there might be by the end of this season, but right now there's not. One would think he's going to go into a wide-open competition and have a chance to earn the job right out of the gate. And I think he is a really, really talented kicker with a big upside and is a really nice get as a preferred walk-on.
What are you hearing on Tennessee's two unnamed opponents in the SEC as far as West teams? I've heard a lot of different things, and of course a lot of this we don't know for sure, but are you hearing anything that you feel is pretty solid about who Tennessee might play?
I'm hearing pretty solid it's not going to be Ole Miss. You know, I'm not hearing Ole Miss very much at all, and that's obviously next year's Western Division opponent. I'm hearing early in the week and throughout the week, I've heard a good bit about Texas A&M, maybe as the team that replaces Ole Miss and comes to Knoxville. And last night, I was still hearing a lot of a road trip to LSU, which, you know, I think if you're trading Ole Miss for Texas A&M and keeping LSU, I don't think Jeremy Pruitt and Tennessee should be very happy with whatever the commissioner and his, you know, guys drew up. I still contend this. I think I said this on the show last week. I think the fairest way to do it would have been to take your opponent for the next 2 years and say that's already on the schedule. The schedule, you know, that it's been laid out years in advance, and that's, look, it's an unusual set of circumstances, and that's what we're going to do, and that's just the bottom line with that, which I think initially is what everybody was thinking and people in the league thought they were going to do. And I think enough, you know, schools and enough people raised concerns and had issues with their draw. They didn't like it that the SEC came up with this notion that they were going to base it off some kind of strength of schedule or whatever they're calling that. And there's no way when you do that, it becomes subjective and you open yourself up to a ton of scrutiny for playing favorites with certain teams in the SEC. And I think when this schedule gets announced, regardless of who Tennessee's opponents are, I think you're going to see some people talk about certain teams were, you know, got a favorable draw because the league was protecting certain teams. Now, I'm not saying that's what the league is doing. I'm just saying they've opened themselves up to that scrutiny. Much the way that, you know, the Big Ten got some scrutiny yesterday for Ohio State's draw, you know, and I just, you know, I think the league could have avoided that if they would just said, we're going to play our next two Western Division or cross divisional opponents. And hey, Alabama, if you don't like the draw, sorry. Florida, if you don't like the draw, sorry. That's just the draw. That's what we're doing. It's the cleanest, easiest thing. Instead of getting in a room and having people lobby for one thing or the other to try to make their schedule more friendly for their team for that year.
Yeah, it was interesting on A&M because there was a source that I talked to Friday night that told me he thought A&M was going to be on the schedule, and I asked why, and he thought it was because Tennessee was playing them like twice in 12 years and that they wanted them on there more frequently. This was a chance to do that, but that's what this guy said. So that kind of is in line with what you're suggesting. You were hearing A&M as well. That's tough. That is a tough draw for Tennessee.
If it's A&M and LSU, I can't think of many teams in the East that are going to get a tougher addition. Those two teams, I mean, you're talking about, that's two of the top three or four teams in the Western Division, you know, that you would be drawing to play. So, I think that's really tough. A&M makes some sense if you're not going to do the rotating opponent deal for the next 2 years. A&M makes some sense because they're the only team in the league who hasn't been to Knoxville to play a game.
Yep.
Now, it's not like it's going to be great for the crowd because you're going to have a limited number of crowd, but when you added teams in several years ago, the way that thing, you know, however they did it, maybe it's like the NBA lottery where they throw up some ping pong balls as to who's next on the schedule. I don't know how they do that, but, you know, they were way down the line in terms of their trip to Knoxville. And so maybe that's, you know, maybe there's something to that, but I think if that's the two teams Tennessee ends up with, I think that's a really difficult draw. Can't imagine anybody else has got a much more difficult draw than Tennessee in terms of adding those two teams to their schedule.
Let's check in with Alan, who joins us. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Alan.
Hello, guys. No, it's funny you just mentioned that about had they, and they, I guess they possibly still could, but going with the next two rotating opponents, Florida would really have a cow over that, hosting, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, hosting Alabama next year. And then at College Station 2022 versus Georgia, and who do you think of when you think of the East race? Florida and Georgia. Next 2 years, Georgia's got Arkansas at home and at Mississippi State. So I don't think Florida is going to like that, would like that too well. But are you just two things here. First off, now the current schedules aren't going to be affected. In other words, there's no way they're going to send Tennessee back to the swamp and have Georgia come up here. No other changes to the schedule or drop Arkansas. Is that a remote possibility beyond just the adding of the two extra teams, as far as you know? And the second question is for Brent. Well, all of you, but obviously Brent with his expertise on recruiting. How are the parameters the last 15 years, going back maybe to Dooley or at the end of Fulmer's tenure, how the geographic elements of recruiting changed in-state, but especially out-of-state?
Okay, sure. That's a great question. In terms of your first question, no, Jimmy, no changes, because the league has come out and said they're keeping divisional play. So you've got to play everybody in the East, and you will play your Eastern schedule through Tennessee the way it was laid out on paper. Now, the dates may not be the same.
Right.
That could change. But
right.
You're not going to suddenly flip home games or take somebody off the schedule. You're going to play the eight games you were scheduled to play, and they're going to add two. I don't think there's any other changes to how the cross-divisional opponent is going to go either. So no changes to that. Tennessee will play the eight games scheduled to play, and then they'll add two games to that schedule. And I don't know when it's going to get announced. I thought some news might come today. There's some talk that they might announce who the opponents are but not put the dates out there yet. But maybe that's not going to be the case, because it is 5:15 Eastern time, so I would imagine no news is coming on that tonight. As for your second question, I think it's a great question. A couple things. One, I think the dynamics in the mid-state are very different than they are not very, but they're a good bit different than they were 15 years ago. One, I think your talent's better. Two, you've got a group of kids there whose families are from all over the place. They didn't necessarily, their parents weren't born and raised in Tennessee. They weren't born and raised in Nashville. Maybe, the Nissan plant brought them from up north, or something else brought them in. It's a very much more of a transient population in the mid-state than it was even 10, 15 years ago.
Or the Titans
that's
brought them in.
The Titans brought them in. I mean, that's a very different dynamic to the mid-state than what it was. Plus, the increase in population has increased the talent level in the mid-state. So we've seen a big surge in talent in the middle of, in the mid-state of Tennessee over the last 15 years. As for around the region geographically, the biggest evolution is the return of Clemson under Dabo Swinney, and what Clemson has been able to do in recruiting and what they've done in terms of winning championships and playing for championships. They're a different animal. 15 years ago, Clemson wasn't a team. I mean, you recruited against them, but they were not at the level where they are now. So that has changed a great deal with the footprint. Just recently, and look, I didn't think Mack Brown would come in and do what he's been able to do at North Carolina. I knew he had a good personality, but I didn't know that they would have this kind of recruiting success, particularly in the state of North Carolina, keeping kids in state. That's been a state for the last 15 years that kids have gone everywhere, Florida, Alabama, Georgia. They have bounced Tennessee. They bounced around everywhere. Mack Brown is doing a really good job of keeping top talent in state this year. He's not gotten everybody, but compared to what North Carolina had previously done, it's not even close how well he's done. So I think that dynamic is changing a little bit. Virginia is cycling up for the 22 class. Great year in the state of Virginia for the class of 22. There may be three top 15 national players out of the state of Virginia. What is that going to look like with those two schools and who's going to be able to come in there and get there. I think Tennessee is going to try to have a greater presence in Virginia than they once did. So but those are a couple of things, I think, around the South that have made things a little bit different. I mean, Georgia's obviously recruiting with great success. There's just a ton of players in Georgia, so there's no way Georgia can go in and get all the top players in the state of Georgia. It's not going to happen. But obviously, they've done a good job in recruiting. Kirby has, and Alabama's probably recruiting more national in the last 10 years than they've ever recruited.
Alan, we sure do appreciate the call. We'll get a break. We've got more with Brent Hubbs coming up. To join us, 656-9900, 656-9900. Star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Sports Talk Today brought to you by Body Armor. Jimmy Hyams is at Food City on Loves Creek Road. You can get by, and of course, with your Food City value card, buy any Body Armor product, and you'll be entered for a chance to win a Body Armor Blaney golf cart. Also, Jimmy's got the key word on the table that he's seated at. Get that key word, text it into 68683 before 7 o'clock tonight. It has to be before 7. It's while the show is on the air, and you'll be in the running to be one of our finalists for the Big Ticket 2020 as presented by Food City. We give away the grand prize next week. This is Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Download the TuneIn app so you can take 99.1 The Sports Animal with you wherever you go.
Sports Talk continues. Our guest, Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com, 656-9900 to join the conversation, 656-9900. It's Steve who's up next. Hello, Steve. Steve, you with us? Yep. Steve, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Well, we're glad you could join us.
Yeah. Wanted to ask Brent if he's heard of a junior college player named Lemon that was going to maybe leaning into Arizona State or has been but likes us a lot.
I know the name. I don't know where Tennessee, how ultimately Tennessee is going to be. You know, we'll see how hard Tennessee elects to push there. I don't know.
Okay. Okay, then. Well, let me ask you this. Of course, I know some of them, but who do you think right now are our best candidates for defensive linemen with what we hadn't got committed yet, defensive linemen?
I don't think it's changed much, you know, in the last week or so. I mean, Peyton Page is off the board, but, you know, Tyrion Ingram's Dawkins is certainly one on there. I had a story up today on a kid from down in Birmingham that Tennessee's just recently offered by the name of LaMondre Brooks. That's a new name that is getting some, you know, Tennessee was in there early, but I think he's going to get more offers as things move forward with him. He's more of an edge outside linebacker, hybrid type defensive end guy. Tennessee's still trying with the Robinson kid up in Maryland that's committed to Maryland. I think they've stayed in conversation with him, continuing to try to have, some, you know, just to stay in the window. Now, Maryland's not playing their senior year, so I don't know what, you know, their football this fall. So I don't know what he's going to do in terms of when he's going to play. He'll be signed before then, but you know, Tennessee's still swinging there. I don't think their chances are very good, but they're certainly still swinging with him right now. Christian Zachary is a defensive end, outside linebacker, rush guy who's from down in Georgia that Tennessee's definitely involved with and definitely a factor with him. Not saying they lead, Steve, but I do think they're clearly in the game there and they're a factor with him. So there's four or five names that I think Tennessee – remains in pretty good contact with and are still swinging pretty hard for right now.
Okay. Well, okay. Well, let me ask you this. I'm sure you've talked about this a lot, but how many more people do you think we will take commitments from?
Oh, they'll keep recruiting.
Yeah.
They'll figure the numbers out later. I mean, they'll trade around, trade up, and you know, that's what happens. I know they're at 24 right now, but they're not recruiting for just one more spot. So if the right people fall their way, then they'll, you know, the class will change and shift. And look, I mean, some guys that they have committed are going to take visits. They may not be able to hold on to everybody. You know, Terrence Lewis is a guy who's got three other visits scheduled at this point in time, which we knew he was going to take visits. But I think if this thing opens back up, then I think recruiting is going to get really wild. I think on the flip side, if it doesn't open up, I think recruiting is going to get really interesting, because are some of these kids really going to be willing to sign having never seen the place that they're committed to? And in some cases, that's, some guys are in that scenario and in that situation right now. Ross Bork, who's the athletic director at Texas A&M, who's never seen a microphone he didn't like, was quoted as saying a week or so ago, Jimmy, he doesn't think they're going to have official visits this fall. He doesn't think recruiting is going to open back up. If that's the case, what do you do with the December signing date? How do you change all those things? So we're just trying to get to kickoff, and I get everybody's trying to get to kickoff right now, which makes sense. But there's going to be some real recruiting guidelines and a roadmap to recruiting that's going to have to be presented here pretty soon, because the dead period is set to end the last day of this month. We'll see if that's really the case or if they extend it. If they extend it, then they're really going to have to come up with a game plan on how they're going to manage the rest of this recruiting class.
Right. Well, okay, guys. It'd be interesting to see on down the road if we're not much going on. I mean, never mind. I'm trying to say we still have a lot to talk about.
But, yeah, we will.
Okay.
Steve, we always appreciate it. Thank you very much. 656-9900. Go ahead, Brent.
I think I gave Steve nightmares last week, and I think I depressed him this week. So I'm 0-2 with Steve. So I got to get back on my game for next Thursday. Sorry about that, bud.
I think you're doing just fine. And so we will go ahead and grab a break. We've got, of course, room for more of your questions and comments. 656-9900, 656-9900. *990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. More with Brent Hubbs coming up as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Hey, I'm Ball for Life, Bobby Scott, and we're counting it down. It's just
51 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go home!
Sports Talk rolls on with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Our guest, Brent Hubbs of BallQuest.com. And if you have a question or comment for Brent, 656-9900, 656-9900, *990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Brent's appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. From design to installation, the team at Diversified has you covered. View their portfolio online at sunandscreen.com. And, Brent, a lot going on at VolQuest these days. In fact, there's never been a better time to try it out, as there's a deal in place all the way up until game day, right?
Yep. You sign up right now. We're going to give it to you till game day and let you check everything out. We're going to have football practices to talk about. Now, I don't know what we're going to see yet at this point or not see, but we're going to have we'll be talking to plenty of people and have plenty of updates and plenty of insight on what's going on with this football team when they go to the practice field here in just a couple of weeks. And so that's the date everybody's looking forward to, and hopefully we get to that point on the track we're on right now. And if you jump in and sign up with us right now, we're not going to charge anything until Tennessee kicks it off in late September. So it's a great time to check us out.
Boy, it sure is, and it's been interesting as each of the last couple of weeks you have talked with individuals who have found themselves a little bit surprised either by the spotlight that Tennessee has shown upon them or offers that have come from the Volunteers their way. what was it like for you to catch up with Birmingham outside linebacker and defensive end Lamondre Brooks, who got an offer from Tennessee last week?
Well, you know, he's still trying to figure it all out. You know, it came out of the blue. He'd had some conversation with Tennessee, but not much. And Tennessee called and offered him and said they liked his film. And, you know, that's another guy who I think that, you know, Tennessee wanted in camp this summer. And I think a lot of schools wanted him in camp and evaluated him further. And I think Tennessee has continued to watch more and more tape, talk to more and more people. And after doing so and continuing their evaluation, they felt like they were ready to offer him a scholarship. And he was excited about it. He wants to see Tennessee. And I think as a result of him putting out that he got offered a scholarship, he's probably going to get a few more phone calls. There's a lot of copycat going on in recruiting, and his phone has been ringing more frequently this week than it was last week prior to the Tennessee offer. But, you know, Tennessee will be in that one, and we'll see, you know, what all the numbers look like and how big of a priority he ends up being or not being as he progresses through his senior year. And, you know, Alabama's scheduled to start football in early September, and that's a guy that Tennessee will be certainly watching closely his high school tape of his first two or three games to see what kind of priority he becomes for him.
And as you were just talking about with Steve, Tennessee no doubt is going to continue to recruit. While they may not have what looks to be a wealth of room in this class, they still are in the running for some awfully talented ball players. How is it that you manage that? And what's perhaps the best way to approach that? Because this has been such a unique year, but a lot of it comes down to just how much contact, I guess, or up-to-date you stay with different guys and how they're approaching their seasons to come.
Well, and I think it's a two-way street in recruiting, mm-hmm. and I think it's become this way. We had a previous caller at the top of the hour asking how the footprint had changed around the region, and he was talking about, you know, teams coming in and, you know, kind of where it's gotten harder or it's gotten easier. But recruiting over the last 15 years has changed dramatically. And one of the things, in addition to kids going to campuses all the time, is kids are committing earlier and kids are making reservations. And schools are taking those reservations and taking a commitment from a kid. And both sides now more than ever understand very clearly that nothing is binding at this point when you verbally commit. That's why kids continue to go through the recruiting process after they commit. That's why coaches continue to recruit other kids even after they've got a commitment. So, you know, 15 years ago, I think it would have been a much bigger deal that Tennessee was sitting at 23, 24 commits at this point in time. It would have been unheard of, really. But certainly everybody would have been like, oh, well, they don't have room for this guy or they don't have room for that. It's just become understood that schools are going to take the best players they can get. And if they can trade up and get a better player, a guy who's higher on their board, it's going to happen. And you don't have the backlash to it that you once did, which is why kids are going through the process. Even after they commit, they continue to go through the process and schools are continuing to recruit beyond the quote numbers that they have available.
Brent, if indeed they do go through with the early signing period, which I think is December 16 to 18, something like that. Last year, 77% of players signed during that early December period. If they have it again this year, do you think that number could go down to 50% or less?
I don't think it'll go that low, but I do think the number will drop a bit. But I still think kids are going to feel pressure and schools are going to put pressure on them to sign. You know, if you don't sign, we're not going to have room for you. You know, we can't guarantee you nothing in February. You know, you better take your spot if you want to come here, that type of thing. I think you'll still see some of that out there, which is why the number may not drop as much as one would think. I think it's going to be interesting to see. Now, this would be really bizarre, Jimmy, because it would be, quote, forward thinking by the NCAA.
What?
But does the NCAA look at this and go, you know what? We need to help the kids out here and take that pressure away. Let's eliminate that early date and give those kids the opportunity to take official visits to ensure that they're making the right decision for themselves. Do I think that's going to happen? No, I don't. Would my advice to kids be that's what you should do? Yeah, but I also get the pressure those kids feel like they're under, because if they don't sign Jimmy, they're afraid they're not going to have a spot.
Yeah. Yep. If Jeremy Banks is reinstated, which I think we expect, what type of impact do you think he could have on the team this season?
Well, I think, you know, talent-wise, he can play with anybody. And he's we noted this in the war room a couple of weeks ago. He's been going through the OTA stuff with the team and doing workout stuff. So there's been no formal announcement, but he's been doing stuff with the team and is around this football team, which further indicates exactly what you're saying, and I agree with 100%. He may not have been, quote, added to the roster yet, but I think he's on their numbers and he's on their internal roster at this point in time. Talent-wise, Jimmy, he could play. He can play running back. He can play linebacker. Given Tennessee's need at inside linebacker, because they don't have anything proven outside of Henry T at this point, I think he goes in from day one and competes for that outside, that other inside spot with Kravaris Crouch. You know, I mean, we all like Crouch's ability, but he's not played very many snaps. It would be interesting to look at the snap count as to who has more inside linebacker snaps, because Crouch played it for about a quarter, I guess, against Alabama. And there may have been another point in time where he played some inside linebacker last year. But I bet they're pretty equal in the number of snaps they both played at inside linebacker. So I think that'll be an open competition when they get into pads between those two for that job opposite of Henry T.
We just had Desmond Oliver on, Tennessee assistant coach, and he said that he thinks this team has the potential to play on the last day of the season, which, of course, means the Final Four. So toward that end, how important was it for Tennessee to get Eve Pons back?
I think it was huge. You got a veteran who understands the wears and the tears of the SEC. He gives you a shot blocker, a great defensive playmaker, not just a guy who, you know, can bang in the box and that kind of thing, but he's a playmaker on defense. He creates offense with his defensive ability. We certainly saw a big-time growth in his offensive game. I think playing him on the block last year was a great move by Rick Barnes. They may flex him out a little bit more this year on offense, but what he can do for them and kind of being a free safety in the paint, if you will, as a shot blocker, is imperative for this team. So I think getting him back was major for Tennessee. Look, I think this team's going to be really talented. You certainly like what Fulkerson did a year ago, Pons, as you mentioned. I think the question is, how quickly does this team, with all these newcomers and the backcourt, how quickly do they come together and really play the brand of basketball that Rick Barnes expects and holds everybody to? Because they did not have their normal summer, okay? And because they didn't have their normal summer, how much has that hurt the development of some individuals and development of the team? When you talk about Rick Barnes the last 3 or 4 years, the best thing, I mean, the last year or so it's been recruiting. When you talk about, you know, Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer, and all these 5-stars, you know, top 10 players, top 100 players, top 20 players he's signed. But really the most consistent thing in Rick Barnes' program since he's been here has been the all-season summer development, okay? The jump Jordan Bone made 2 years ago, Admiral Schofield, Grant Williams, Kevin Punter, what they got, you know, the shot-altering stuff they did with him and what it turned him into. The development of Pons from, 2 years ago to last year, that's the best thing this program's done. They've not had that typical deal. So Euros wasn't here all summer long. Okay, how much has that set back his development? Okay, Josiah did not get, you know, the normal hands-on work with the basketball coaching staff to really evolve his game from year one to year two. How much has that not set him back, but not progressed him forward, Jimmy? So I think that's the one concern that you have about this team. How quickly do they gel, and how much did they not progress forward by not having the typical summer that Rick Barnes has used greatly to his advantage since he's been at Tennessee?
If you have a question or comment for Brent Hubbs, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. 9900. Brent, as you shared a couple of nuggets this morning when it comes to college football, I know that there's got to be a sense of frustration, especially for college football fans, that there just doesn't seem to be a whole lot of either communication and or uniformity when it comes to the Power Five conferences. When you look at how there's no continuity when it comes to who starts when, you've got essentially one organization in the ACC that's the only one that's probably going to try and play more than 10 games. Where do you think the fault lies? Is it because everybody's so worried about just their own backyard, or why do you think that there hasn't perhaps been a little more communication and uniformity among a group that I'm sure would appreciate as equal a landscape as there possibly could be in such a weird, weird year?
Well, I think it goes to, you know, people have said for years, you know, when's the Power Five going to break away from the NCAA? You know, well, if they break away, who's going to lead it? Who's going to make decisions for them? They can't even figure out if they're all going to play the same number of games. You know, I mean, that's a pretty easy decision, pretty quick Zoom call to have. You know what I mean? How many are we going to play, guys? Because from the playoff standpoint, isn't everybody playing the same number of games? Did you have a playoff? Okay, I mean, you know, can we start at a – let's look at this scenario, okay? Say the season gets halted in October. Are you going to pick it back up in the spring? Okay, if you do, then at that point the ACC's played, what, six games, five games? The SEC's played twice, you know?
Yeah.
So how are you going to manage that for a playoff in the spring? Hey, ACC – you wait four more weeks before you start in the spring because we got to do this all at the end at the same time. I mean, it's mind-boggling to me that they can't get on the same page. Why? Because nobody's in charge. And when you have nobody in charge, everybody thinks they're in charge. So the SEC's doing their own thing. Well, the ACC jumped the gun like it's the SEC should win first, but the ACC had their plan in place. They got Notre Dame. And they went out and announced it and got it done. The same way weeks earlier, the Big Ten came out and said, we're going to play conference only, which is what four of the five have elected to do, play conference only games. So, you know, I think when you have no one as the chairman, then everybody thinks they're in charge. And when everybody thinks they're in charge, everybody does their own thing. Which, and seeing their exercise in this the last two or three months makes you wonder if they could ever really break away on their own and keep it organized and make it work.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right in that regard. Let's check in with Eric, who joins us. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Eric.
Talking about Coach Barnes and his ability to coach and his recruiting, it's really nice to, I think, what I've seen from Coach Barnes is that he recognizes, he has an innate ability to recognize a talent in kids that may not be, recruits that may not be the highest on the list and biggest scorers, et cetera, et cetera. But he takes them in and he, over a year or 2 year period, he coaches them up to what he has seen as their talent or their best talent. And I think it's a great combination. I think he's done a great job. I just wanted to make that comment.
Well, I think you can certainly make the case for that early on. If you talk about, you know, getting Admiral Schofield, he was, I think, a three-star, and Brent Williams, who didn't have any Power Five offers outside of Tennessee. Jimmy, what he's done the last couple of years is he's gone in and he's beat out Kentucky and, you know, Memphis and some ACC schools, North Carolina, Duke, and some of those guys head-to-head for some of the best players in the country. And, which should make this a very talented team, as Desmond Oliver said in the interview earlier. So it's been kind of interesting to watch the evolution of their recruiting at Tennessee as they've won. You know, I mean, I think early on it was you had to go and you had to get that three-star guy that maybe not everybody saw the potential in, and then you had to coach it and get it out of him. And as a result of that, they're one time the number one ranked team in the country. And when you do that, then all of a sudden you're in the game for a much higher profile player, which is what we've seen in this last class.
And I think a part of that, too, with these high profile players he's bringing in, He's making sure that they're the right fit, the right character, the right chemistry as well. And I think that's also important to the culture of his program.
Yeah, he's not going to take somebody just because they got a bunch of stars. Yes. I mean, they're going to have to fit. They're going to, if they don't fit the way he wants to play and they're not coachable the way he wants to coach them, then he's not got any interest in interest in signing them, regardless of what their ranking is. So I'm with you. I think he's brought in guys who are higher acclaim than some of his early classes, but the consistency through it all is they are guys that he believes is a fit for his program to continue the culture that they've had, going to the classroom, being in the community, but most importantly, being coachable and letting him coach and develop them. And when you talk to recruits out there, the word development rolls off their tongue very early in the interview. When you talk about, what do you like about Tennessee? It's player development. The mileage they're getting out of Grant Williams is remarkable, Jimmy. I mean, that story, which we all got tired of hearing about how, you know, his mom worked at NASA and he's Ivy League only, and this was the only school that wanted to have him, and it was in every broadcast, and you're at some point like, we've heard the story. That story has resonated with more kids around the country than anything else Rick Barnes has probably done in his time at Tennessee.
That's Brent Hubbs with Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break and be back with a final segment to hour number three of Sports Talk as you listen to 99.1 The Sports Animal.
I know it's hard to keep up,
but we ain't slowing down. 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Final segment to hour number three of Sports Talk, a final segment with Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. To get a question or comment in under the wire, 656-9900, 656-9900. Brent, now that we do know, or perhaps the green light is there for high school football to go as scheduled in the state of Tennessee right now, how are things going for Eli and the Gibbs Eagles?
Well, we'll find out. If everything's go, we're going to get to see them on Thursday night against Halls in an opener. Nothing like opening against your rival school in a region game when you've not had a scrimmage, you've not had an official work of practice, so who knows what that's going to look like, but everybody's excited for the fact that we're going to get to look at something, and I'm not going to lie to you, I've not gone and watched practice because Eli's like, Dad, you better not be watching practice. I might have got there early a couple times just to smell, hear, and see a little bit of football, and it's For my own personal, I don't want to say depression, but for my own personal happiness, it's been nice to see and nice to hear. So hopefully, you know, we'll get to play around the region and we'll get to play for the most part around the state starting the weekend of the 20th and 21st. And a bunch of kids get to play. I know there's a bunch of kids, including my son, who's excited and happy right now.
A lot of folks wondering about what's next or perhaps where Smile Munden might wind up. But he talked with Chad Simmons of Rivals about his recruitment, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And I'm glad Smile kind of cleared everything up because, you know, in the day and age where some kids like to play games and they troll people on social media, Smile's just been very quiet about everything. And it's not that he's trying to mess with anybody or trying to deliberately throw people off the path or anything like that. Having spent some time with Smile in Georgia, Austin and I did several months ago, that's his personality. He's not going to share his thoughts to the world on social media. He's not going to come out with new finalists every day, and he's not going to retweet every graphic somebody sends to him and all those things. That's just kind of his personality, which in this day and age, I sort of applauded a little bit in the way he's gone about his business. So, you know, Florida's still in there, trying to hang in there. They've tried to get back in it a little bit more. Auburn, Tennessee, Georgia, those are the four finalists. And, you know, I think he may take this thing all the way towards December before he makes a decision. I just don't think he's close. There's some talk that he was going to do something in August, but I just don't see that happening. I think this thing is going to play out through the fall for him before he makes a final decision. Really good football player, really good talent.
We mentioned the deal that is in place for folks to try VolQuest all the way up until game day for Tennessee. What else is going on at VolQuest these days?
Well, we'll have the War Room tomorrow. We'll have our mailbag podcast tomorrow as well. We've got some recruiting stuff coming up all weekend long. Austin's got a little football feature with four or five predictions he's going to jump out there and make just to get everybody talking and stirred up about football, because we're getting close to having some practices here. So hopefully the next few weeks are going to feel somewhat normal to us. So we're going to talk plenty of ball, and we might slip in a little watching of a major golf tournament tomorrow night, which will be fun to do as well, and watch a little high school football here in a few weeks, and all that stuff. So right now it feels pretty good. We just hope, and you know, that trend continues. Did not like to see the fact that Penn State announced today there would be no fans in their stands this year, but hopefully we can continue to move towards the start of a college football season and a high school football season here in the coming weeks.
Brent, always appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. That's Brent Hubbs of VolQuest.com joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. And, of course, Brent's weekly appearance is brought to you by our good friends at Diversified Enclosures and Screen. From design to installation, the team at Diversified has you covered. View their portfolio online at sunandscreen.com. Coming up, hour number four of Sports Talk. We look forward to catching up with our good friend Mark Pankratz, and that follows your chance to win with the Sports Fix at 6. That's next on 99.1, the Sports Animal.